everything that you blessed us with, and the opportunity to come to church. And Lord, I just ask that as Trulin shares and leads out, that you would bless his time. And we have some interesting things that are going to happen. Just ask that you would allow our technology to work properly. Lord, we also pray in the name of Jesus that you would drive any unclean spirits from this building, from our hearts. And Lord, that we invite your spirit to come in and enter so that we can commune with you. Amen.
Amen. Thanks, Brian. All right. Well, we do have some special things planned this morning. I'm excited about the morning. And first thing we need to do, normally in church we don't really like when you have your smartphones or your tablets out or whatever. But right now, if you have a smart device, a tablet, smartphone, whatever, I want you to take it out. Get them out. It's okay. I've got one. Nothing to be ashamed of here, but I want you to get them out. And I want you to go into your settings and disable your Wi-Fi, okay? If you don't know how to do that, look around and find somebody else who can help you. You can wait for those boxes or that iOS update and download that later. If everybody's doing that, if everybody's phones are automatically on the Wi-Fi, we might not be able to do the video call that we're going to do. It's a little bit like a highway. You can only get so many cars through at one time. And if all your electronic cars are trying to drive on this highway, we're going to have problems. If everybody just parks for a while, we'll be good. So please disable your Wi-Fi on any smart devices you may have. We will hopefully, by God's grace, have a wonderful service this morning without any unnecessary technical interruptions. We do have a special service. It is a missions-focused Sunday, and we have a couple special things planned. I'm going to do a little singing. We're going to have a video chat here. We're going to see some pictures later, and maybe a little meditation yet from the Bible, depending how the time flows. We'll see what God has for us there. So I'm going to start off with a song, and we're going to do the video chat. And after the chat, Tim, if you could be prepared with a song after the chat, so we can switch computers, just to kind of, so we don't have that awkward silence deal going on. Sing song. So at this point, I'm going to start with a song here for y'all. This is one that I learned as a teenager singing in New Creations Chorus. We did a year that was focused on missions, and this is one of my favorite songs from that year.
The steeples rise up to the skies all across the land. While lovely churches grace each town, it's hard to understand why Christ is still the Savior that so many never meet. People halfway around the world or right across the street, they've never heard of Jesus. They never call his name. And without his great love and hope in their lives, their worlds will go on unchanged, and they need him so. We all need him so. They've never heard of Jesus. You and I must let them know. Their eyes look out each morning on another day. Their faces speak of heartaches that their words might never say. From busy city sidewalks to strange and distant shores, how they need someone to tell them just what living's really for. They've never heard of Jesus. They never call His name. And without His great love and hope in their lives, their worlds will go on unchanged, and they need Him so. We all need Him so. They've never heard of Jesus. You and I must let them know. They've never heard of Jesus. You and I must let them know.
All right. Well, that's all I have to tell you. If technology behaves as wanted to, so let's see if this works.
Okay, now I can hear you. I can hear you there for a little bit.
This morning, everybody, we have with us Ms. Rochelle Zook from all the way on the other side of the world in Cambodia. All right, well, before we get into our, and we have, I kind of need to get my script out here. Okay. She has consented to do a little interview here with us this morning and talk us about some things. So before we get started, Rochelle, I'm just going to take the and turn it around so you can see everybody here at our church. Everybody wave, there you go. Everybody is really glad to see you this morning, and glad to hear you. Maybe you want to turn that up just a little bit back there in the sound system so we can hear what Rochelle is saying. She can't hear me very good because I forgot to put my microphone on.
I can actually hear you really, really good.
Really?
Yeah. It's great.
All right. So, like I said, you're on the other side of the world. It looks like it's dark outside if I'm seeing your window behind you.
Yeah, it is.
I asked earlier about the time change. I guess you all are pretty close to the equator there, so.
Yeah, we're pretty close.
We just had a flash jam, so this was long. Nobody had an excuse to be late.
It's doing a lot better. I'm back up and walking, and my range of motion is back. The biggest thing right now is just, like, if I do too much, then I have a lot of pain at night, but I'm resuming somewhat normal life, so that feels really good.
So you're able to get out and about?
Yeah. Yes. I have the four walls of my bedroom memorized very well. Almost 2 years.
Yeah, so just your first, it has been in two segments. You had your first location there, and then now you can move to where you go. So just give us a little bit of a brief rundown on what you've done so far there.
Okay, so, yeah. In the first, well, about the first year and the first year and a half, we lived in the southern part of the city, which is more modern, and has more of outside Western influence, and we lived in that area. The purpose of living that in that area was to live close to the language schools that are in the city. And so we were just, when we moved, well, when the first ones who came who picked that location, it was always picked as a temporary location just for doing language school. So we lived on the southern side of the city until July of this past year, and I did language school from I did full-time language school from January when I got here in 2015 till this past January of 2016, and then went to part-time to learn the religious language, because Cambodia has, like, there's actually 5 layers to the language. So there's, we've learned 3.5. No, we've learned 4.5. And the last one is, like, the Buddhist language, which we won't ever try to learn. Some has some overlap, but not. So that's kind of what those last months were, trying to get some of the other facets of the language nailed down. And then, actually in April of this past year, we made the decision to where we were going to move, which is the western part of the city. We're about 5 minutes away from the airport, and we're right behind a red light district. And the purpose of moving there was, there's not a church in this community, so we're not exactly working directly with the red, like with doing like rescuing or that type of ministry. More so the purpose of having a church and outreach in this community, which is very directly involved in the red light district. Most of the people who live here are working out there or have some sort of association with the... So it's a main street, and I live just one block off of it, behind the main stretch. Mm-hmm. I think my favorite interaction is when we get out to the more rural parts, if we're traveling or something, and they'll all of a sudden realize that you're a foreigner and you speak the language, and then they'll kind of keep pushing you, and they realize that you speak a lot of the language, and it really piques their interest as to why you, the foreigner, would bother to learn what is actually, Khmer is considered a dying language. They predict it to be dead within the next century or so. And so they're... leads to pretty good opportunity to share why you're here. That always is kind of fun, because they're just a little bit in shock, and then they keep like testing you, and they'll start talking faster and be like, you know, do they really speak the language, or are they just trying to pretend that they do? Yes, I think I will always feel like a foreigner. I think one of my favorite things, I was thinking about this, Trulin nicely sent me the questions ahead of time, so I'm not getting nailed with these right on the spot, which is really nice. They are very, very generous people. They are so, they're just so generous. So, I mean, if you come by, they'll give you what they're eating, we have a lot to learn in the area of gift giving. They give when they don't have, and just very generous with families, with their friends, with their neighborhoods, just very open and hospitable, and yeah, willing to give the last of their food and their house away. I mean, they do view it as a way of earning merit, but it is a positive aspect of their culture that is, yeah, and they're very friendly people. They're just so friendly. When you're out and about, everyone says hello, everyone says, you know, how are you doing? You always greet each other, and just everyone, whether or not you're strangers, and so yeah.
So what does a typical day look like for you?
That depends on the day of the week. Monday to Wednesday right now, we're actually working at the center, getting things ready. So like anytime Monday to Wednesday, I'll get up and I need to be at work at 8:30, and we work from 8:30 to 4. So we're working on just getting like decorations set up, curriculum in place, supplies, tables, chairs, all just the kind of little nitty-gritty details. So on those days, I'm at the center from 8:30 to 4. We take an hour lunch break. And then after that, kind of do in the evening often household stuff or out with friends, or it kind of depends on what's going on. And then Thursdays and Fridays, I do, like, errand catch-up. The children come to play usually Thursday and Friday afternoons. Have a house full of children, which they sometimes come the other nights in the evening, too. Depends how tired out we are from the day. And then, so that's kind of, Thursdays I'll, like, go out to the bank, get my banking done. I'll go do grocery shopping, cleaning, laundry, just just kind of the nitty-gritty catch-up from the week. And Saturdays, kind of whatever's going on. And then Sundays, in the mornings, we actually don't do church Sunday mornings. It's because of where we live. Here Sunday is kind of the day off, and Saturday isn't really the day off. So Sunday mornings, we actually take time to go out in the community. Some people are having Bible studies with some people if we have the right context. Kind of sometimes with kids over and do a Bible story with them in the morning, and then Sunday afternoon is usually open. And then Sunday evening, we actually have our regular church service Sunday evening, which would be like our Sunday morning church service.
So you just finished up your church service
last morning? Yeah, we just finished up our church service for the day. So it's a little non-traditional, but it's how we do it. Because we were having church Sunday morning, and then we realized it probably wasn't a good idea because we kind of need to get people to come to church, and we can't really do that if we're actually sitting in church during the daylight hours on Sunday.
Yeah. You mentioned that they do the generosity is to earn merit. That would be with their religion, I'm guessing. The official religion of Canada is Buddhism. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Can you tell us maybe a little bit about that? Briefly describe what is the religion? Mm-hmm.
So basically, yeah, Buddhism is built on the thought that your life kind of keeps going until you reach nirvana, until you reach nothingness, which is the end goal. And so you keep going in the endless cycle. And I often use the example of like corn grows and seed goes back into the ground and it grows again. And so you need to pay off your karma in like this life to pay for your past life. And then they also are often here. Here's Theravada Buddhism, so they would believe a lot that they can do a lot for their ancestors as well. So they're not only working to get rid of to level out their own karma, but then they would believe there's kind of like the in-between where they go to, it's called Tanarua. It's a Khmer word. I don't really know how to translate it into English, but it's kind of the hell in between that you go until you pay off enough of your bad karma to actually come into your next life and pay off what's remaining of your karma. So they would try to help their ancestors that are in that part of their journey. So there's a lot of going. There's several holidays that are dedicated to taking offerings to the temple to provide for your ancestors to journey to their next life. So not to journey to nirvana, which you have to go from a living life to nirvana. You can't go from your in-betweenness to nirvana. But they're just trying to get them to be able to come back and to live again and be able to work towards attaining nothingness, basically.
Right.
So there's a lot of holidays. They do a lot of holidays here that are, they're not really holidays of our holidays in that they spend a lot of time going to the temples and making sacrifices and doing chants and stuff to try to get their own merit to be good, and also the ancestors that are on their journey at that time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they try to kill desire. And so, yeah. Another thing is here, once they get older, often the older people will shave their heads and just wear like plain white clothing with just like a traditional scarf. And they'll often move to the Wat because it's kind of almost, to use the Amish for an illustration, they kind of live their younger years and kind of do whatever they want and don't actually really get serious. So a lot of them don't seriously practice their Buddhist faith until they get older, and then they need to like quick make up for what all the stuff, you know, that they did in their earlier lives. So they'll often move to the Wats then, which is the temple, and try to quick back pay for what they did for the rest of their lives. But a lot of the younger people don't really take it seriously until they're getting towards death. And then they'll quick like become very strict and, one of the things that really stuck with me this past year, there was an article in the newspaper here, and they did a survey in Cambodia of what the overwhelming feeling is of Cambodian people. And over 80% of the participants in the survey said that they have an overwhelming feeling of hopelessness. And it's something that those of us that live here often talk about, there's just this hopelessness. Like, you might possibly, but you don't really know if you're going to do enough, and you probably haven't done enough, and they feel trapped in this cycle of poverty and, you know, just bad lives, and there's not really any hope. And it's just really sad to think of a country where over 80% of the people just feel like there is no hope, and that would be the number one feeling they say they experience on a daily basis. And that's something that just, I mean, you can see it in people's eyes, and you can just feel it. It's kind of just, yeah. It can sign it kind of, but then, like, you kind of just have this hope, and you just kind of, you know that you have this hope, and you just, there's kind of an excitement to it, too, that, like, you know, I am not the solution, but I know who is the solution to this hopelessness.
So have you met other Christians
there? Oh, yeah, definitely. Several Christian friends, and, yeah, there's a number, not a lot, but there is a number of flourishing churches here in the city. So, yeah. I think Christians kind of tend to just find each other and kind of know who each other are, and yeah, there's that connection there. Yeah. The center, which, by the way, I don't know how many people have heard the name, but the center has been named. It's called Redeeming Rain Center. Yes, the name of the center. And which is actually above my house. I live below the center, so the center is upstairs. It's kind of two separate, it's the same kind of like apartment complex, but it is separated from our house. And so what we're planning to do is start off with teaching English and computer, and just a way to get out, to help the community, but also provide a way for them to acquire skills. We are planning to use the Bible to teach our English lessons. And one of the main reasons is because we live in a neighborhood where human trafficking is very high. And if a person knows English, their chances of being trafficked go down by 80% if they know English. They're seen as a lot more valuable. So that is one of our driving factors for teaching English, and just a way to share the gospel that's really easy to do, because people want to learn English. They don't really care what you're teaching. So a way to use Bible. And computer is another big thing here that draws the interest of young people, is to learn computer skills. So we're planning to do that. We're planning. We're waiting for our government paperwork, so... Yeah, we are actually, we were done in August, or we thought we were done, so I spent June, July, and August. We had several meetings a week as a team, and so I'm actually the team secretary. I'm center secretary here, which is actually my official role on the team. So basically what I would do is we had to write a business plan. I don't know if any of you have ever written a business plan, but it's rather lengthy if you've ever Google searched what a business plan is. I never did until I had to write one, and then I found it is rather lengthy and overwhelming. So basically, Dewey and I, we were working together on a lot of stuff, so we would bring it to the meeting and say, you know, we need to make a decision about this. We need to decide what our core values are, and our mission statement, and our vision statement, and what are our policies, and who's the staff, and how do we pay our staff, and how do we, just all these nitty-gritty details. And then I would come back from the meeting and then work on formatting that all into this business plan. And so that's what we spent a lot of the summer doing, was just having meetings and then putting those decisions into that. There was various paperwork, like everyone needed to have a CV done. We had to get just compiling all this stuff until we had this nice little stack of permission from our landlord, permission from the village chief, permission. So lots and lots of paperwork. So in August, I spent 3 months compiling all that with the help of Dewey, but I did a lot of the, like, typing it up. So we submitted that in August, and then about a month later, they came back and said, well, you need to add this, and this wasn't quite, the government keeps changing how, you know, it needs to be done. So it's kind of the finickiness of they can decide if that's how they want it or not. So we had to change things several times, and I think about a week or a week and a half ago was finally actually all right one of the biggest frustrations was we had to change our logo, I think, about 10 or 12 times until it finally met. We kept, every time we would submit our logo, they would say, oh, no, that's not what we want. We want it done like this. And so we would do it like that, and they're like, oh, no, we don't want it done like that. We want it done like this. So it has finally all been submitted. They told us 2 weeks, but we don't believe that because they told us like 6 weeks, like several months ago. So we'll see. We're waiting now. But it's hopefully actually all done correctly at this point.
So is this plan written
in Khmer? They translated it. We hired a consultant to translate that from English to Khmer. So thankfully, I only had to do that in English. I do. Yeah. Thankfully, that would have been my... Typing in Khmer is pretty hard. There's 127 characters on the keyboard, so I'm not very fast at it. And you use the English keyboard. You just have to memorize where the Khmer script is on the English keyboard. And some of them you have to do Shift-Alt to get the third. So, like, the letter C will be, like, so you go Shift-Alt and then C to get the, like, third character that the one key contains. I would still be typing it if I would have had to type it.
So you mentioned already some of the activities you do with children's line there. You're not having classes then yet at the center, you're still preparing.
No. We can't do that until we have our paperwork, or we could lose our visas and be sent home. So but
were you able to have like kids like Bible classes or anything like that?
We're kind of fudging the lines a little bit and kind of doing it in our homes, and the kids are just there playing, and we read the kids a story, and we do, you know, they're just there hanging out at our houses. So we're fudging the lines a little on that. And then Wednesdays, we fast breakfast and lunch, and then we spend our day out prayer walking and out in the community, talking with people, interacting with people. We often take children's storybooks along and tracks, and that's always the highlight of the week. Nice to get out, and yeah, it can be kind of a long, tiring day sometimes, but it is a fun day.
All right. I forgot to say this sooner, but if anybody wants to ask a question or wants to say hi, we will have opportunity for that in a few minutes. And if you want to talk to Rochelle a little bit or say hi or ask a question here, what you'll need to do is come up here so she can see you, so she can hear you and ask a question.
I think for the team, just for health, it's sick season right now in Cambodia. It's rainy season, so we keep kind of passing stuff along. So just pray for good health. Also, just for so we can get all the little details worked out. It's really echoing now. Not sure why it's doing that. I'm getting my feedback now when I'm talking. It wasn't doing that earlier.
It sounds fine here. There's no echo here.
It stopped now. And just for that, we can get all the small details for the center worked out, and just that our government paperwork would actually get approved and we can be done with that process. That would be really nice. And another prayer request for the team, there is several people that we're doing Bible studies with that have shown interest in the gospel, and some people who are seriously seeking. And so just pray for the salvation of those people.
All right. Thank you so much. And I'm going to just open it up now. If anybody has a question to ask, just come on up over this side, and I'll lay the mic here. Anybody has a question?
Yes.
I love to hear different languages spoken. Mm-hmm. Would you be willing to recite some Bible verses or a Bible verse for us in your Khmer language?
Yes, I can do one. So this is Psalm 23:1, so it's pretty cliche, but it is one I know. So, praya ang kujia kruang wil hawikyum manjong ban ay sa. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want.
Hi, Michelle.
Hey.
Yes.
Your mom and dad just wanted to come and see you and say hello, and it looks quite familiar. And I want to just say it's nice to see you dressed and clothed and looking so beautiful, and we love you.
Yeah, I love you, Michelle. I hear a lot from you, from mom's cell phone. Of course, I don't say much to you, but I hear from you, so I love you, and hey, God bless you.
Hey, Michelle. This is Kara.
Hi, Kara.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. I have a question. How do you keep yourself focused on the bigger picture in the middle of all the heat and bugs and sickness and all that?
I don't know. That's kind of hard to think of one right on the spot.
Yeah, that's
okay. I guess for me, like, Cambodia has really become home, and so all of those things feel like a normal aspect of life, and I actually enjoy the heat. So I think maybe for me that struggle hasn't been as hard as some people would find it, because it feels very normal to me. I would actually maybe find it harder to stay focused on the bigger picture in the U.S. than I do here. I think those things kind of remind you sometimes of the bigger picture.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. Cheryl!
Hi.
What question is she going to ask?
No, this is pretty simple. When I write you, I usually try to put the date up on the right-hand corner. I don't always probably do that. But I wondered, like, after you get my letter, how long it is from the time that you see the date on the corner to when you actually get the letter and get to read it?
I would say it's an average of 2 months. It can often be 3 or 4 months. Mom said you sent a letter, and I was at the post office on Thursday, and it's still not there, so.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I sent you one, so till you get it, everything will be totally different. But I'll keep writing.
I like your letter. Okay. The one thing I tell people sometimes is, my updates are just the day-to-day normal here, so it feels pretty mundane to us. So it's great to hear people's just everyday, day-to-day activities. It's like, oh, I forget they do that in the U.S., and it's just great to hear, like, how life is back home, because you forget sometimes.
Well, I enjoy your updates, too, so it's kind of, yeah. But I don't do weekly for you, sorry.
That's perfectly fine.
Okay, see ya.
See ya.
Me again.
Hey.
Somebody wants to say hi to you. Do you remember who this is?
I think it's Eileen.
It is.
It's not the clearest, so.
Yeah, it's Eileen. She wanted to say hi.
Hello,
Eileen. Hi.
How are you?
She broke her leg, and so she's healing from that. But we're doing good.
That's good.
And Mom and Dad went to Colorado with the youth for the week. So we get to have Porter and Eileen.
Oh, that's fun.
Yeah.
So, Michelle, are you still having torrential rains?
Yes, we are still having torrential rain. In fact, I stayed at a friend's house last night, and I didn't get home until like 12:30 this morning because everything was flooded, and then it rained a whole bunch more this afternoon.
Okay. So like you got a couple feet or a couple foot or whatever of rain, I mean like in the streets or?
There is definitely a foot in some places. Thankfully I'm really short, so I put my feet up on the little metal rack of my moto and just like sit in this little ball so my feet don't get soaking wet when I drive. Now I'm after that. My people do it too, and I finally got it figured out how to do it and keep my moto up at the same time. That way you don't get wet driving through the floodwaters.
So how do you keep your motors from flooding? Don't they die out from the water?
Well, if it's rising out, as long as your muffler is above the water, it's fine.
Okay.
And sometimes you it's under too.
Okay. Have you seen any pink teepee floating?
Nope.
Okay, because I flushed more than you're not supposed to, so I thought maybe you've seen some. Okay. Good.
Yeah, it was great talking to you guys.
It was great having you with us, and God bless you for serving there.
I think
we'll just, before we hang out, let's just have a word of prayer here, and then we'll say goodbye.
Can I say one quick thing before you do that? I was going to write Durbin a note for the bulletin, but I thought if I'm talking to you guys in person, I can just thank you so much for all the support over this past month while I was laid up with my knee. I just felt so loved by you guys, and there's packages that came and letters that were written, and I've just really felt like you guys were just really close to me and really supported me. So just thank you guys so much for that. You were such a huge blessing. Yeah, that would be great. This was wonderful.
All right, God bless you all.
Yep, God bless.
Okay. Thank you all so much for that. At this time, we're going to have a congregational song, and while we switch over to Rochelle to Rhonda's computer, and we'll see some pictures from her time at the early. So, Tim.
729 is that crazy? Three verses. That's fine. 729, let's stand. And we'd like to have some of the men that know the descant on verse 2, and we're going to skip verse 3, and then anyone else that knows descant on verse 4 can sing it then. 729, Zion's praises.
No soul, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace. Who signed his stayed on thee.
Some of the men sing descant on verse 2 here.
Marvel not that I say unto you. Marvel not that I say unto you, he must be born again.
Verse 5.
Thank God for his faithfulness and the 2 years and 4 summers that I spent there. And I also like to say thank you to each one of y'all for your prayers and your support. And it's by God's grace that I can stand here today. I'm going to share pictures about summer camps because they were my favorite part of the year. And the most recent memories, that's how I ended my time there this summer, was being a camp counselor. So this is Beaver Lake Camp. This is where I spent 4 summers and 2 years. And that was my world up there. So you guys can go ahead and read that, but this is kind of what a summer would, general idea what a summer looked like, the overview of start with training week and then camps, and then ended with family camp. And this was teen camp. These are the girls that were in my cabin, and they were 6 beautiful, precious girls. You can't see the one girl back there. And if you want to join me in praying that these girls would choose life, Canada is known as one of the second country highest in suicide. And so each one of these girls has quite a story. And even though it was a hard week, I really loved it, and I would do it again in a heartbeat. And this is Camp Life. Top right is Drama Night. It's on Sunday, and it's always dramatic. We did a modern version of the story of Noah that week. That was fun. It was actually the girls' idea. Bottom is tractor rides. We decided to do 2 cabins combined and went on a very muddy tractor ride. It was a lot of fun. And the top left corner is Ellie. She was my co-counselor the first 2 weeks. We switched co-counselors in between. You have 2 weeks with one, and in the last 2 weeks you have another. Top is teen camp. That was Crystal. On the right, they dressed me up as a pirate. I don't think I've ever been a pirate before, but we did a contest with newspaper as one of the activities. Bottom right is on the porch. You all try to get there first, because whoever gets there first gets to go in the line first and eat first. And the left is craft time. We did a craft Fridays, Saturdays, and Mondays. We had craft time. And this was our first, this is Junior Camp 1. This is my group of girls. And yes, LaShonda broke her arm playing Juggalug, which actually, it was a good thing because it brought our cabin together and the girls were caring for each other. And Leticia would, like, girl on the left, would join our cabin sometimes. She wanted to be a deer too. I was in a deer cabin the whole summer, so. And the girl on the left was in our cabin. She was small for her age, so we got to give her piggyback rides everywhere. It's a lot of fun. And tractor rides were always my highlight, and the girls usually loved them too. And you'd get off and you'd just play in the mud for a while, and then you'd hop back on and finish your ride. So it's a lot of fun. Make good memories with the girls. But sometimes we get to wash off in the lake, so that would help. But this time we didn't get to. Top right is Lily. I don't know, she just kind of had a special place in my heart. Some of the other girl counselors said she was kind of like your little girl, so she was. And that was the week. There was a lot of girls there that are transgender or little girls. Yeah, it's really hard to watch, but they're taught it in schools. Top right is domestics, because I was in domestics for 2 summers, and they're behind the scenes, but they're also very important. You won't want to do a summer without them. Bottom right is Sarah. She was my co the last 2 weeks for Junior Camp 2 and Junior Camp 3. And the top, that's Terry. And yes, she was in my cabin. And the bottom, you never know who you might meet in the food line. They were serving us the one night, and it was made the girls or the kids laugh. And yeah, paddle boats is another activity we did. There's lots of different things we do in summer. And then you end it with family camp, which was my favorite weekend of the whole year. They set up a big tent. There's about 800 to 1,000 people that come. There's tents and campers and stuff everywhere, all over the place. And then there's, on the right, it's a picture of Tech Shop. People can buy food, and us staff work in there all over the weekend. And then on the bottom, we did children's sessions, and we acted out the story of Jesus' death and resurrection. So that's the end of the pictures. I'm going to share a poem that I wrote about summer there. If I could tell you all the things God has done, well, we'd be sitting here quite a while. The wonders he did, the miracles he performed, yeah, I just can't help but smile. Being in the deer cabin all summer long is a gift that I'll always treasure. What memories in there were made, and God's goodness I can't begin to measure. From the laughter and the tears, the hellos and the goodbyes, the ups and the downs, the answers and the whys. Being covered with mud from head to toe and jumping in the lake to wash off after, to the cup song around the table, piggyback rides and late night laughter. The northern lights dancing across the sky, watching the storm clouds just go away, seeing a rainbow or two arched overhead, God's love was being poured out each day. God knew exactly what he was doing when each dear girl he placed in my care, he knew I couldn't do it on my own, and that in each moment I'd find him there. My theme song was My God is So Big. I saw that played out in so many ways. I hope I'll always remember the truth, even in the hard and long days. I won't forget this summer the joy of running on God and air, yet I know no matter where I go, God will be with me there.
Thanks so much for sharing with us, Rhonda. Appreciate that. And I bless you for all the time that you gave there. Well, I hope that, I hope that your hearts have been challenged and to pray for our missionaries, but also for just the needs. One of the things I read a book fairly recently, Radical by David Platt. Actually, I didn't read the book. I listened to the audio book, but it comes out the same. One of the things that he challenged you to do is pray for the world over the course of a year using the Operation World Prayer Guide. And it's a challenge that I've taken more seriously sometimes and less seriously others, but I've been mostly keeping up with the emails and It's kind of overwhelming as you read and think and as your heart is touched by the needs of so many millions of people in so many countries, and there's so much darkness in the world and so much evil, and it's kind of overwhelming. And Ruthie mentioned in Cambodia being touched by that and seeing the darkness, and that's just in one portion there with the red light district. And that's just one country, and a relatively small country. And it can be kind of overwhelming. But God is in control, and He has. I was going to go into this deal, but I'm not going to for sake of time. But I do want to pass out these songs, and I want to sing this song. It's an old hymn. It's from 1924. If I could maybe have two volunteers to hand out these song sheets.
The usher, great. You guys are on the spot. I think there's about enough for one per family, roughly, give or take. We can kind of fall off the road, so to speak, on either side, fall into the ditch on either side. On the one hand, we can look at other people around us and say, you know, what are they doing? Why aren't they doing more? Why don't they get up and wake up and get up and get to work? And on the other hand, we can look at ourselves and say, I'm not doing anything. I'm worthless. I'm meaningless. God's kingdom is upside down from the way we humanly think. You know, we think that the powerful people and the noticeable people and the famous people are the great people, and that's where the greatness is. And we think that the small and the insignificant are just and sometimes we feel like that. We're just little. But God's kingdom is upside down. And what is great? I was going to read the parable of the parable of the workers in the vineyard. And I won't for sake of time. You can look it up in Matthew 19 and 20. But Jesus wraps the parable in the phrase, the first shall be last and the last shall be first. He starts the parable with that and he ends the parable with that. The last shall be first and the first shall be last. Then he tells this parable of the workers in the vineyard who some were hired at the beginning. You know the parable. Some were hired at the beginning, some were hired in the middle of the day, and some were hired just an hour before quitting time. And they all got the same pay. And the ones who were hired first said, "That's not fair. We worked so hard. We bore the heat of the day. And you gave these guys who just got here and haven't hardly done anything, you gave them the same reward as us." And the master said, "Are you upset because I'm generous? It's my money. I can give it as I choose." And then Jesus again finishes the parable with, "Many, the first shall be last, and the last shall be first." And so wherever you feel yourself in that, the challenge is twofold: not to judge others on what they're doing and not to belittle yourself on what God's called you to do, but to serve God where He's calling you. And maybe if you start listening to God, like Brian shared in his devotional, you might find out God's calling you somewhere else. In fact, there's a decent chance of that. But to serve God where He's calling you, no matter what. So I want to sing this song. The Gaithers did a nice arrangement of it where they, and I think I want to sing it in that order. I gave you all five verses because that's the way the sheet was and because there's good stuff there. But we're going to sing verse 1 and then verse 3. And then we'll sing the chorus. So we'll sing verse 1, no chorus, verse 3, then the chorus, and then we'll sing verse 5 and the chorus. I like the flow of the verses that way. And then after that, I think we'll turn the time over to Josh for sharing time. Sing verse 1, verse 3, and then the chorus.